So we'll have to, but boards really, especially in these, you know, sugyas and the nuns, it's really very a targeted, you know, spot. You can really do all of bore. So maybe over the break we'll just, you know, do some of it, right? Homework, right? And then we'll just do a quick long shiurim just to finish up bore, because it's really a very, I say, targeted topic. The others are too, once you get into them, but the shores are really much more all over the place, but we'll see. Okay, so the last thing that we were discussing was the sugya of the Gandhari and the whole, again, I'm obviously pushing hard on the notion. Basically, we're trying to suggest that there are really, broadly speaking, I guess, two or three approaches to bor. I'm trying to push hard on the idea that bor may be very, very mechudash, not just, you know, in the Hava Mina alone, if we didn't have bor or if we only had bor, but even the halacha, and that it continues to be, you know, something that is just very singular in terms of the takala itself, tziras ha-takala, bailus on the takala, and that therefore it isn't measured at all, you know, the same way that, you know, the others are. Okay, we'll talk about Aish also, but especially the shores. And the shores, the big question is, you know, the relationship, as we've discussed, between, you know, maisa shore being maisa atzmacha or mitzuruf to you, you know, chisaron shmira, you know, maisa shoro, but the bank account, when you apply the bank account, you know, and that again may break down into Karen and Shane and Regel or the overlaps, you know, as we discussed. It's not impossible, as the light of board, to say that, you know, ownership of a Karen in particular, you know, is also din in being, you know, owning a mazik or, you know, the circumstances in which you pay for, you know, not controlling your mazik as opposed to the nezek. But, and I think here and there are some echoes of that, but certainly, naturally, our inclination would be that, you know, shore is about, you know, one of those other, you know, more conventional ideas. Whereas possibly Aish also, but let's leave Aish out for the moment. But Bor, as I say, there really is a lot to commend the view that Bor is about Yetziras HaTakala, or Bailus on the Takala, or being Maksik B'Takala. And therefore, of course, while the Nezek matters, because if there weren't Nezek, you wouldn't be Chayim. And as we'll see, and we have seen, you know, trying to connect the dots in terms of the connection, you know, to the ownership, what happened to the animal, or you know, in light of, you know, your ownership of the boar, obviously is going to overlap a lot, you know, with what seemingly happens in the other Nezikin as well, including the three shores. But what I'm trying to suggest is that there seems to be a lot of evidence, seems to be, to me at least, a very attractive, very compelling view to say that we just assess bor differently, that there are a lot of nafkamina, different, you know, motifs in bor than in the others. And that's basically how we have been trying to explain, you know, some of the phenomena. The opposite way to say, you know, again, the, you know, Tzara Shava way of saying, is that, you know, just, you know, all the Hidushim of Bor are, again, in the Havamina, or maybe some of them are there, you know, even the Maskana, and therefore require some compensation. But then at the end of the day, you know, the Sheval Tasa part, the lack of Bailos in the normal sense, etc., all the Hidushim of Bor, you know, are mostly neutralized and ignored, and this is like a Nezek B'Shev Al Tasa or a Mazik B'Shev Al Tasa, something of that sort, and therefore you'd be more likely default to compare it to the other categories of Nezek. In between those is the possibility of thinking that, you know, it isn't Yetziras HaTakala or the Bailus of the Takala per se that is the Mechayiv, but it still isn't completely a conventional mazik either. In other words, that the fact that it is mazik b'shev al tase, or a mazik which begins with yitziras ha-takala, that is a qualitative difference in the nezek, or at least that splits it from the shore cases vis-a-vis, let's say, making much more, let's say, likely chisaron shmira, you created this mazik, this takala, and you're not guarding it, and therefore the chisaron shmira parts are even more prominent, let's say, in Bor than they are in the shores, and that the nezek b'shev al taseh, is responsible, for a lot of the kulas for sure, but maybe even just, looking at it differently. That's different than what I'm talking about, the Mechayev being Yetziras HaTakala. So these, I think, are three approaches within Bor that are very promising, that have a lot that suggests that they are very valid. I think we've seen some things already. And then, of course, another question is the question of the relationship between Bor Misa and Bor Mazik. And that, question is certainly connected. Again, the more you think that this is all just, very conventional, so then the difference between, Bor Misa, Bor Nezek is going to be negligible. Maybe in terms of Hagdara of, Kedei Lahamis and Ones and things of that sort. But by and large, if we ignore, or just, slightly compensate for what's unique about Bor, and we end up integrating it into the more of the Tzarashave, then the difference between Bor Misa and Bor Nezek is mostly going to be a small difference, if any. Maybe there's no difference at all, it's even less than an Avodah Tolda, or even if it is a difference, again, it's in, in the technical or compensatory aspects of it. But the more we think that Bor, especially, again, the first view, that Bor is about Yetziras HaTakala and ownership of the Takala and so on, so then the idea that there are different Chalos Takalos, that a Takala Shel Misa is different than a Takala Shel Nezek, because they're not just reconstructing, trying to connect the dots in terms of financial or moral or even, connection to the Maisa Hezek, Maisa Misa anymore. What you're doing is you're talking about, again, something that is Safui Meirosh, something that you, label in advance. And as such, the difference between a Takala Shel Mazik and a Takala Shel Nezek may be significant. So the idea that there are two different Chaluyos, maybe even two Avos, and then maybe even that regarding this question, Gufa, we're Mechalek in terms of the Mechayiv, based on the Pasuk or based on other, again, the factor of Misa and so on, that I think also emerges as well. So that's what we have been doing and what we would continue to do if we were to finish this, and maybe at some, maybe we will, to do it really, really, really thoroughly, to go through all the sugyas of Bor, is just keep, trying to build up these perspectives based on the, different shitos and even some of the Havaminas and so on and so forth. So that's what we have been doing. So one of the things that came up on Tuesday was I was suggesting before and then when we read the Rajba that Tchilos HaBepshiyah V'Sof HaBa'ones might be different in Bor, might not apply to Bor, even if it applies to the other Nezikin, because, again, of this perspective that it doesn't operate in terms of Maisa Hezek or the Nezek, but that it's more about Yetziras HaMazik, and as far as that is concerned, there is no Tchiloso and Sofo in a bigger way. And I think that is very again, a very compelling idea and one which would really strongly suggest Bor's singular nature. Now, again, I think you could also attribute that to the Sheval Tasa Kumbase, etc. Idea, but I think it's particularly suggested if you take the view of Yetziras HaTakala. Again, I don't think it's mukrach, but I do think that that kind of a big discrepancy would justify. Now, that is a little bit different than another question that we talked about, and that is whether or not, assuming that there isn't an Tzchilas HaBepshiyah V'Sof HaBa'ones in Bor, whether or not you can connect Bor Mazik and Bor Misa Legabe Tzchilas HaBepshiyah V'Sof HaBa'ones. Just as we discussed that question regarding Shein and Regel, or the possibility of two Avos in Keren, and so on, Once again, if the shem bor shel nezek and the shem bor shel katala are two different shemos, then even if you think tgasim shiv sof bonus applies to bor per se, you still might say that it doesn't apply between nezek and miso, or that might be another nafkamina as well. So again, without going too much into this issue, it comes up with the Rajba, right? The Rajba asked the question, wanted to say, if you hold the pashtus, like the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that the Gemara's conclusion is that if you fall from a height of 10, even if you don't fall into a bor of 10, meaning the non-Nigandari case, you know, where the animal falls b'derech hibucho, and what works for treifas, let's say, also works, we'll get back to that in a second, for bor. So he was saying, if that's really true, in addition to the difficulty in the Mishnah, Nunam and Beis, which certainly doesn't sound that way, why isn't there also just a din in Tchilas of Shia V'Sofa Ba'ones in every case of Igandari? So again, the point I was trying to make was that that is A, if you assume that you don't need a Chetzah Shel Bor Asara, which doesn't at all preclude this whole Mahalach of Shemos and Yitziros HaTakala, etc. But certainly that Mahalach is much, much reinforced and strengthened by taking the view of the Rajba, which is that even in cases where we know we can connect the dots to the Misa of the animal, right, it doesn't matter if it's not the boar, the Chetzah Shel Bor, you know, that is responsible. And that it's not the shame bor, the Yetziras HaTakala Meirosh, you know, which defines that. So what I was suggesting was that it is true that the Rajba is certainly applying Tchasa Peshiva Sofa Ba'ones, you know, to within Misa Sabor. He's not applying it from Nezek to Misa, although I don't know that he wounds, but I'm guessing that he particularly, who holds that, you know, that these are two different chaluyos, both on Ardaf from the first parak, and again on Nun Aleph Omid Aleph, that, you know, he certainly doesn't say that. He's talking about within Bor Shel Misa, and he's talking about, if you assume, right, the view of the Rama and others, which is that you dafka don't need the Misa to come from the Chetzah Shel Bor or from the Takala per se. So once that is true, so then Tchas of Shiv Sofa Ba'onos in Bor, and particularly within Bor Misa, becomes more, I think, compelling, but or more probable. But, you know, once the Rajba's conclusion, right, is accepted, which is the Chiddush that the Chetzah Shel Bor, you know, itself, you know, has to be the Mamis, not just, you know, your, you know, having dug it and, you know, being responsible for the Misa, there's Kadei Misaso for sure. Would you still say all of this? I think it's much more questionable. Anyway, there Natan brought to my attention, which I just don't want to get into right now, but I'll just talk about it for a couple of minutes because it is so important. And that really this is as I kind of alluded, a debate among the Rishonim. You know, whether we say Tchilaso B'Pshia V'Sofa Ba'ones in Bor or not is really a debate among the Rishonim, and Natan was particularly just trying to make the Ha'ara about the language of the Balamor. So just the background, very quickly, again, without getting too involved in this, is the Sugya here on Nun Beis, Amud Aleph, Nun Beis, Amud Beis. The Gemara here talks about, again, the Mishnah says that Kiso, just very quickly because you didn't prepare it, Kiso Kiroi, if you covered the boar properly, you had a boar, you covered it, and then there's a takala, so you're potter. So the Gemara is troubled by, like, what's the case, right? So the Gemara says, Kiva dekiso karoi heche nafal. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Rab Chana shehitlia betoch mitocha. Meaning the animal didn't, you know, fall in, he kind of, you know, burrowed his way in. You know, and that's what happened in this particular case. So then the Gemara goes on to discuss, like, you know, various interesting cases where, you know, it seems like the boar as is no threat to the animal, right? But either the animal did something extraordinary, you know, to make it a threat to himself, or Something happened in the interim kind of that changed the reality. Like, let's say you did a kisui for shvarim, but not for gemalim, and then gemalim came, and they kind of messed up and or expanded the, you know, the boar in such a way. Hi, welcome. That, see, you can always come back. That the that expanded in such a way that the shvarim are now endangered, you know, as well. So that's one possibility. And then the Gemara in the continuation says, or maybe boilu kiso kisu sheyachalamod bifnei shvarim, right? The any achalamod bifnei gemalim, right? Ushchichi gemalim v'tliya mitochol mao, right? Mi amrina migu dahave poshea etzol gemalim ava poshea nami linyan atla'a. So that's a terrific line. The Gemara wants to know, you have a kisui abor, which will work for shvarim, but it's not, it doesn't do anything to neutralize the danger to gemalim. Right? The animals obviously don't matter. I mean, as animal advocates, they all matter, right? But in the end of the day, so you're a poshea legabe gemalim, we'll call it that. You know, the Gemara doesn't use that expression, which is part of the point here. You're a poshea legabe gemalim, but you're an ones legabe shvarim, and the shvarim are the ones that end up getting damaged. So what bothered the Rishonim here was that the Gemara says, you know, the Gemara has a suffek here, and they end up actually concluding that you are potur. Now, we don't say migu dehava poshea legabe gemalim, you know, have a, you know, or chayev, or have a poshea legabe hatla'as shvarim. So that's like the background. So the Balamor here, just you should be aware, Alatar, here on Nun Beis Amud Beis, asks this question. He says, well, don't we paskin tilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onas is chayiv? And if that's the case, we should paskin, you should use that language in the Gemara instead of this fancy migu language, right? And we should also paskin that you're chayiv in this case, right? Kasha, hadar minam b'zuzay, da'uda osvinu b'tzrifa d'urbana b'ignov, afagav linyan ganavi n'tirusahi, linyan nura p'shiusahi. That's tilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onas. So if that's the case, why not say the same thing here? So he goes through a lot of interesting ideas, all of which are relevant to us, but we just don't want to get, you know, too far afield at the moment. Almost every suggestion here, and some of the rejections of the suggestions, are like right on target of the things that we've been discussing, the level of Shmira, other things, etc. The Balamor's ultimate answer, which is what Natan was raising, is Hapirik Shinir Lanu Midarbin the Kaman Mistabra Ptura Gabe Bor Holu Potter Bos Hakalim. Kashem Shinishtana, every time you have the word Kashem, right, it's a double underline. Kashem Shinishtana Bazel Liftor, Kach Nishtana Bidin Tilasa Bapshia Vasofa Baones, Velo Gamrina Mine Ludina Achrina. So the Balamor basically says, this is the Balamor's conclusion, that there's no din of tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onas in boar. Why should boar be different than all other avos nezikin? The answer is the p'tur kalim, right, shows you that it's singular, right? And lo gomrina mine ledin achrina, but you learn from the p'tur kalim to this halacha. So, you know, you could ask, ma inyan, you know, p'tur kalim, you know, le... You know, litzkila subshiva sofa bonus, right? Like if you asked, you know, Rebelville this question, or at least the piece that he wrote, you know, he'd probably be scratching his head, you know, because he's saying that, like, that's Hilchoseim, it's Exeris Akasuv, doesn't reflect anything. But we were saying the other day, I was suggesting the other day, we were talking about the difference in the Yerushalmi, right, between, that a bor katala is pater b'kelim and a bor Nezek is Chayiv B'Kalim. If you don't want to explain it based on the Rashi and others, right, that, whatever. But I was suggesting this might be, you know, an indicator that there's a fundamental difference even between more Bor Katala and Bor Mazik, and the Bor Katala is about Yetzirah Satakala. When it comes to Yetzirah Satakala, Kalim are Potter, because You know, it's not a takala for kalim. El pidid, formally. Again, if the kalim are going to be on the, let's say you knew that in 70% of cases or 50% of cases, it doesn't matter, in X percent cases, you know, when a shore, you know, walks into a boar, he's carrying kalim, right? But so in that sense, is it really true that a boar is not a threat to the kalim? Which is the language that some Rishonim do use, by the way. The answer is yes and no. Right? Again, if you're being practical about it and pragmatic about it and reconstructing, then, you know, it doesn't matter that the kalim can't walk in on their own. If there's a certain critical mass cases where kalim are involved, you know, together with the thing that can walk in on its own. By the way, that could have been enough even in terms of Shem Takala. But certainly, if you take the formal view, which is that what's Mechayiv and Bor is Yetziras HaTakala, the Takala, and Meirosh, right, you always have to kind of label what it's a Takala for. So then, to say legally, formally, it's a Takana for mobile things and not for stationary things is very reasonable, right? But maybe that's exactly what the Balamor is saying here. Mide Kalim, which shows you that Bor operates at a totally different level and frequency, right, than any other mazik, nishma, not just arbitrarily, but for the same reason, that tilos of shiv, so for bonus pot. Again, the Ramban, ironically, reacts very harshly to this idea. He says, mipnei shelom atzinu ptur gabe bor, yoser mishar avos nezikin, elam igzeres akasim. Right? So that's an interesting line. You know, ein l'chabol l'chidusho, there's a p'tur kalim. Don't extrapolate from that to other things. Now, the Ramban could be understood in two ways, of course. You could understand it in kind of Rabelville, you know, type terms, or you don't need Rabelville for others. Namely, in the end of the day, Bor has some chidushin, but Bor is, you know, part of the group, it's part of the club, and therefore, t'chilas b'shiv itself a ba'onis, which, you know, applies across the board, should apply here too. Ah, p'tur kalim? P'tur kalim is, you know, gzeres hakasuv, or even if it's more than that, it's whatever more than that it is, you know, the explanation is more pedestrian. You know, that's what he's saying? Or, no, he's rejecting the very notion that Bor is something fundamentally different. Or he's just saying, listen, you can't, Bor is unique, Bor is singular, but how that expresses itself is still open to question. Just like I said before, you don't have to say that, you know, that it expresses itself in philosophy of itself, a bonus in particular, right? And maybe kalim isn't even a great expression of this aspect of Bor. Maybe there are, you know, there's Bor as Yetziras HaTakala, and there's a Ptur Kalim. Maybe that doesn't explain Ptur Kalim, because the Kalim do often come together with them. Maybe it is a Takala, which is Tzfuya Merosh, as threatening or imperiling, you know, the things that actuarially, you know, will likely come with the behemoth. I don't have to work so hard. I'm just pointing out that it's a great line in the Ramban. It could either mean something really important, you know, something very, very limited, or something in between, like most things, right? But it's a great line. But what is fascinating, and maybe this helps a little bit, is the Ramban's own explanation for the Gemara. Did you see that? I don't know. We didn't discuss that, but did you see it? The Ramban says, I like here, listen to this, is the view of, you saw it?
No.
Oh, yeah. You want to ask something?
I was wondering if the Yerushalmi limited interpretation of Ptur Kalim may make Bor more likely to be in the realm of Thus Pshutz Oponis.
To make Bor more?
More likely to be included in the realm of Thus Pshutz Oponis, only by, I guess, the Ramban's logic.
I mean, the Ramban, you're saying, according to the Yerushalmi, that Kalim is, I'm not sure if I'm following you. Kalim is limited to Bor Katala.
But Bor Nezikin,
there is a. So does that more likely to show that Kalim is a technicality? And therefore the Ramban is right? Possibly. Unless you think that it means what I was suggesting, which is that Bor Misa, the Mechayiv, is Katala, and Bor Nezik not, in which case you might, if you're going to be consistent about it, then you would say, oh, Tchilas HaPshiv itself, a bonus would apply to Bor Nezikin, but not to Bor Misa.
Right before we were talking about a slightly different question. That is, if you're posheya legabe nezek, does that make you, you know, tkilosim shiva sofa baonis legabe misa? That's one question. The second question, in light of the Baal HaMor, is, I mean, the Baal HaMor does not distinguish between bor nezek and bor misa. But in light of what I was saying in the Yerushalmi about kelim, you might. But if you don't, then what you're saying would be true. Because if you think that bor nezek and misa are the same regarding the question of the nature of bor, which is certainly very legitimate stance, probably the default likely stance, so then the Ptur Kalim being limited to Misa, not to Nezek, right, is likely to imply that it is a narrower issue, not related to the bigger issue, and that would support the Ramban. I think that's what you're saying. Correct? So I think it's a good Ha'ara. I'm just adding that, yeah, but maybe for the Yerushalmi, you would have said the whole thing only in Misa. That's kind of, right? Okay. So good point. So the Ramban himself has the following, quotes Rabbi Abad, that the following is what the Gemara had in mind. He goes on, by the way, first he makes the comment that he makes, then, I don't want to spend much time on this, then he goes on to say, and by the way, I've got a lot of proofs that bor, that it's applicable, tzkosim shiv sof bonus is also applicable to bor, right? He says, v'od matzasi ala pircha, right, from the Gemara and Daf Tesa days. Then he has many, nimseinu lemeidim, sha'af b'bor, kol shit tzkosim shiv sof bonus kayiv, Lefikachan and Shrichan the Farish Shmuel Zol Derech Perish Rav Avram Rav Avbezdin, meaning the Ravid's father-in-law, the Kach Perusha, the Kaimalon Bialma, the Lo Mina Migu Elik Shabba Onus Machmas Pshia. This is again a big discussion of Shiv Baonis issue that is also connected to this problem. What is when do you say Tchilas of Pshia Vesof Baonis Chayev according to that mandala? Right, only if the Onus is derivative of the Pshia. Or as long as there was a pshia that was mitzuraf to this case, that's are you chay for the pshia, or are you chay for the ones because of the pshia, or are you chay because the ones kind of is also a pshia in some respect, right? So the Ramban is saying the latter rather than the former. It's not a din that once you're posheya, you know, b'tchilat ha-talich, you know, that you lose your pteronos. As long as they're mitzurah. That's not the pshat. That's how the Baal HaMor obviously understood it. The real pshat is that when you're posheya, then the sofa ba'ones is not looked at narrowly as an ones. It's an ones if you start, you know, on the ninth inning. But if you look at it from the beginning of the process, right, then, you know, it's just an extension of that pshia, because that's what brought about the circumstances of the ones. So the Ramban says, in my opinion, it's going to also be pshia, the sofa ba'ones only applies when the onus is nigram al yedei apshia. Great. It could also be that he holds that you're chayev for onus, but toras onus, when there's tchilas pshia, but he only thinks that there's a tziruf between the onus and the pshia when one is the cause of the other. That's also possible in the Ramban. Okay? But that, again, we'll get back to those when we get to tchilas pshia, so bonus. What's that? Well, I mean, we are. That might be a separate question. As if, when you want to figure out, let's say, whether an onus was nigram al yidei apshia, you know, or not, right? You could still ask the question that you're asking, and that is, do you have to do that merosh, like in advance? Could you see at the moment of the pshia that you have, you know, kind of loosened, you know, the parameters or the boundaries of everything else, and therefore the, you know, what down the road otherwise would have been an onus is now going to be, you know, has been made more likely in there. Or, you know, is it the kind of thing that you can reconstruct backwards? I think that's a very relevant question. I think it's a separate question.
It doesn't tie in to this question of whether...
The question of whether it's nigram?
No.
So I think it would maybe also be a factor. I'm suggesting two explanations to the Ramban now. That's why does the onus have to be nigra by day pshia? Is that because it is considered the also case of posheya? Or is that because, you know, you need tziruf in order to neutralize the ptur of onus? You know, it's an onus that is mitzuraf to a pshia is not patur. you know, but that's midin ones. The more you think, let's say, that the ones is pshia, the more you would think that that would have to be meirosh. And the more you think that it's, you know, all it needs is siruf to the pshia, but the ones itself is chayiv, then you'd probably be much more flexible and even allowed to reconstruct it, you know, in retrospect. But anyway, I don't want to get too involved in that. But the Ramban says that's what Tkelsa Pshia Self Onus is, and that's why this sugya has nothing to do with that, because, you know, what happened here was you covered up the boar for Shvarim, but not for Gemalim, right? But unlike the previous case in the Gemara, right, it's not that the Gemalim came, they fell in, they expanded the opening, you know, and therefore what would have been an ones, you know, mitchila ends up being nigra ma'ide pshia. That's not what happened. The shvarim were matlia into the boar. They could have done that, and they did that. Nothing happened with gemalim. So it's tchilasa b'pshia legabe gemalim, and it's sofa ba'ones legabe shvarim, right? But there's no nigram at all. That's the case. That's why this is tchilasa. It's like, he also talks about cheresh and pikeach, like something is tchilasa b'pshia lecheresh, but the person who was a nenas was pikeach. Okay? So there's no nigram. Ah. But if there's no nigram, then the shoe is on the other foot. That's the Balamor had to explain why the kula, lemaskana. Why, if we paskin tzkalsa b'shiv self bonus is normally chayiv, so why isn't this case chayiv? And that is tzkalsa b'shiv self bonus. The answer is there's a special din in bor, you know, the haraya, kalim, that it doesn't have this halacha at all. And that's what we were trying to explain. For Ramban, you have to explain the tzad of the safek, not the maskana, but the havamina. Why did the Gemara think that maybe this would be chayiv? It's not tzkalsa b'shiv self bonus. It's ones gamor. Ah. So, again, for me, you know, none of this really matters much because I'm an equal opportunity, you know, enthusiastic advocate of this perspective on Bor. They're going to be kulas and they're going to be chumras. So the Ramban says the following. Just listen to the language. Okay. Kol emas de lokasya bor mikri uliola mechayiv. This is the havamina. Okay, you can already. I mean, this is formalistic language. Bor mikri means the shame bor, right? And you're chayiv, even though what? Even though the reconstruction doesn't work from the perspective of shor, you wouldn't be chayiv, right? Shelo patrasa haTorah. What does it sound like? Aaron, what does it sound like to you? Kisui shu roi l'chol davar? That's a havamina. We don't pass in this way. What does it sound like to you? This is an association. I could be wrong. Joey? Zakaria? Like the Rajba. Right? You have the Rajba echoing in your ear. Maybe you picked it up from this line in the Ramban. Meaning, what, you need a maximalist kisui for what? Right? Hilka kivin she'ena roi ligamalim, right? Lav kisui hu. Even though, what happened was hitliya. Right? And we're talking about the shvarim, and there's no nigram. Velo miftar be. Avo gav the hashta onesu. This is an ones. Right? It's not an extended pshia because there's no nigram. Or it's an onus which is potur because there's no tziruf, whoever you want to say, whichever pshia you want to say. Sounds like you hold like the first more than the second, but okay. Right? Shepshias kriyaso pshiahi lechaiva b'chol davar ad shiachasenu kisui haroi af legmalim. Wow. Right? That's a great, great line. Pshias kriyaso pshia, meaning what? The mechayiv is the yitziras atakala. You're chayiv for yitziras atakala if anything that happens until you cover up the boar, even though what happened was an ones gamor. Again, if you in the trivia game and they say to you, can you have an ones gamor? Can you have something which is an acknowledged ones gamor which you're chayiv for in a boar anyway? Sure. right? As long as tchilas kriyaso bipshia. Okay. Upashtinan, the answer is, this is the sad part, right? The kivin the lake of pshia gaba umidi, kigon the sharpi keach, could appear sharab abad, pator, velominan pshias kriyaso pshia hi, lechaivo, but it's not so bad. Bechol aminan ad shech hasenu keroi lakol. Alekim dein tchilas pshia, pshia, the pater. What, he doesn't say, oh, it is tchila b'pshia, but it's sofa ba'ones, and the whole thing is wrong. That would have been sad. But he doesn't say that. What does he say? Legabe, this ones result, it's not in the category of tchilas pshia. Meaning, when there was this yetzira satakala, it wasn't a yetzira satakala legabe, sure, if there'll be, right, a miktsas kisui. Ooh, that's a big sentence. But how do you swallow all those words in describing, you know, the boar, merosh? The answer is, of course you do, because that's what we do in the world of boar. In everything else, we're trying to figure out the correlation between the nezek and the actions of the owner or the mazik, or who's the mazik, you know, or whose bank account is, you know, going to be attached to the mazik, and so on. But in Bor, we have these massive sentences that we have to swallow. Because it's all about trying to figure out whether the takala, merosh, does it imperil shvarim, even if there'll be a kisui? You could say, oh, come on, that's all down the road. Maybe not. So even the Rambans reject. So it's ironic that he rejects Balamor, who's interested in a Balamor's chumrah, Lemaskana, right? But then he's forced to explain the kula. I'm sorry, the other way. He rejects the kula of the Balamor, Lemaskana, right? But he ends up adopting promoting, you know, a tremendous chumra in the Havamina, which he doesn't completely reject. But for the same reason, in my opinion. Okay. So similarly to this, I don't know if I'll get a chance to speak much more about it, is the issue of Omeid bin Azikin. Again, so what is Omeid bin Azikin? See? The question of Omeid bin Azikin. With an aleph, not with an aleph. What's that?
There was an
umdana
that this would have
Mazikin. Or would it? What's that, Sugya? What am I talking about?
In case of
the trade. No. We'll get to that in a second. Sugya later on. Are you?
Yeah, in the case of whether or not you have to evaluate what paper damage this paper caused. Whether or not that's the only thing that can be said.
Yeah, so where's that, Sugya?
Sadi Aleph
Amid Aleph in the context of Chovel, right? Again, this is a very interesting sugya, but I just want to touch on it for the moment because there are other things we have to finish up where we're getting in crisis mode. Iboy Lahu? You have it quickly?
Yeah,
if you don't mind. Yeah. So, to take a step back for a second. So the Gemara wants, that's a very fascinating question. Right? So what would you think about this question? How do you look at this question? Okay. I mean, it's not clear, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, first of all, to notice how, like, broad is this question. I mean, only by using Mufar over and using Mamun or
two. Right. I mean, the context is Kabbalah.
Yeah. That's
where they do a lot of Omeiding.
Yeah.
Right? Umdanaz. Yeah. So, what would you say in general? Like if I, you know...
In what case?
In general, what do you think this... I mean, again, our two, you know, basic ways to go with this. You know, like what kind of question? Is this a legal question or a practical question?
I mean, I think go either way, but I guess the assumption, the logical side of it is saying that at the end of the day, if this object doesn't do this type of damage, that any damage that it actually causes is going to be considered ones, or something like an asana nila type of damage.
Ones, or mazala gorem, or it's contributory, but it's not exclusive, you know, something like that. So really, again, just like we were talking exactly about this question in our discussion of Kedei L'Hametz. Right? Why is the boar yud
you know, which is Kedei Lahamis, why is that exclusive, you know, to the Chiyuv Amisas HaBehema? Like, at the end of the day, if the animal falls in 9.7, you know, and it dies, you know, let's say the autopsy really does reveal, assuming you can trust the autopsy, right, that it was perfectly healthy in before, and, you know, it only died because of this 9.999, you know, tefach pit, right? So, like, do we care or not? Right? That's a question. So basically, kedei lahamis, as we discussed, you know, can be understood in one of two ways. One is, like, you know, we just, you know, either because of, you know, it's anus, or we think something else, you know, is going on here, or mazale, or something like that. And that's to make it very practical, and again, clearly, that's a second day in Rashi, and that's, you know, Talmud Rabbeinu Tam and others, you know, a lot of them think it's a practical, you know, halacha. The other way, which I think is far more attractive, is to admit that in this particular case, that they, the boar is responsible for the death, right? But the point may be that sometimes that's not enough, right? Because you need kedei lahamis. Whenever you require a formal mechayiv, right, you're not just trying to figure out, oh, how did this happen, to reconstruct, you know, to lay blame, right? But you want to say, oh, there was a maisa ritzicha. I'm not talking about ritzicha in an animal. A maisa, you know, katala in the animal, right? One of the things I was saying was that maybe that's a chiddush, that in animals, there's a difference between nezek and miso with regard to this question. In adam, it's much easier, especially in rotzeach. Again, the question about mezid and shogeg is a big issue. Not for now. But the idea that, you know, being responsible for the death, even exclusively responsible, maybe isn't enough. Right? There has to be a maisa rotzeach. Maisa retzach. Right? So here, too, there has to be, you know, it has to be, there are two issues in bor. The bor has to be namis, not just, you know, mitzuraf to the misa, or achra'i for the misa, or it has to be even more so, maybe, based on light of everything we're talking about, it has to be a killer bor. The chefza shel bor has to have the potential of misa. Right? That's, again, in the Igandari and the Rajba and the Tosa Rosh, you know, in their formulation, this is just so clear. Right? And now we're seeing Lekula and Lechumra, you know, other examples of it. So if you ask me, I would say, God, then when the Gemara says Iboilu Yesh Omid L'Nezikin, right, Mi Amrinim L'Katolu Damdinan, B'Hachi Nafkanaf Neshama, etc., Avon Nezikin Koldu Odim Eloshnab, I think there are just two very opposite ways to read the Gemara. One way is the practical way, where the Gemara is saying, listen, Misa is a, you know, that's a threshold, obviously, and therefore to constitute, to be even Achra'i, or Mitzurev to the Misa, you know, it isn't just enough to say, you know, there were no other factors, and this was the factor, and the animal's dead. Because maybe mazala garem, or you know, it was, you know, it was a walking, you know, trefa, or potential trefa. Maybe these factors really, on a practical level, also mitigate. But when it comes to nezek, you know, do we say that also? Like, in theory, you could have said, from this point of view, I said this the other day, like, oh, the animal, like, how damaged did it get, you know? You know, is the correspondence of the damage, you know, to the expectation of it, you know, given what happened to it, is that a relevant factor in Ezekin or not? So, Yeshom ibn Ezekin, but maybe the question in the Gemara is more, you know, maybe a Nezek, the range is greater. To kill somebody, the difference between killing and damaging isn't just, you know, a quantitative shiur. And consequently, we acknowledge, let's say, a range in nezek. You know, the animal has, clotting factors, you know, is weak. You know, when it comes to misa, so, you know, it's one kind of threshold. When it comes to nezek, the range is just much more, much broader. That's one way to look at it. The way I prefer to look at it is that we're asking something else, and that is, when it comes to Misa, even Misa's Behema maybe, right? So the exclusiveness of it Maybe they overlap. Maybe we care about mazaleh or walking trefa or the exclusiveness of it as opposed to contributory. Even more to the point, in something like a boar, that the boar's mamis, that's a formal hagdara, that's a formal din. And maybe when it comes to nezek, we're much more flexible because all we really care about is reconstructing, right, the responsibility for what happened. We don't have to designate it or label it. So, in theory, again, when it talks about, you know, the context is Chabalah. And in Chabalah, this is really an open question, all these umdinas. Because as we've already noted, right, the very fact that there are arba dvarim, or chamisha dvarim, it isn't just nezek. You know, that we, you know, break it up, tzar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. Right? We already raised the question whether it's an accountant, trick, you know, or just to be, you know, more precise, or that shows a whole different perspective in Kabbalah. What perspective? The perspective that it isn't all about the money. Again, it's about Maisa Kabbalah. And we've already talked about, you know, Mamish or Mamon, and the Rambam's formulation, and Kofar, right, and Reb Chaim, you know, about, Shalom Alpiatzmo, all those things. Meaning, we've discussed a lot, and, you know, Dmei Karka Kakarka, that Reb Chaim, the other Reb Chaim. So, basically, when it comes to Kabbalah, there's a lot of formal chiyuv. Because maybe it's priceless, and you can't really put a number on it. You know, so it's a formal, kind of a knas slash kofar, and therefore being omeid is very important. Because it isn't just pragmatic responsibility. It's formal, you know, chiyuv tashlumit. So now the Gemara wants to know, what about, you know, omeid l'nezakin, and do you distinguish between katala and nezek? Maybe that's what they're saying here as well. That even in when it comes to animals, right, maybe, you know, Misa, in addition to the previous point, which is, oh, that's the highest threshold, you know, to say that you're responsible for Misa, you know, just requires more. It's that you don't have that kind of a range, and so these other factors matter. I'm saying now something different. I'm saying the Misa part is a formal din, and the Nezek part may be a more pragmatic din. One is more, you know, kind of Iser and Tashlumin, and the other is more quid pro quo, you know, and Grubba, Garmi, whatever you want to call it. So it's just fascinating. I don't want to go beyond that right now. But the Gemara, when it talks about Omin L'Nezikin, chooses to talk about Bor, right? And especially about the relationship between Bor Katala and Bor of Mazik. So this is just a proxy for other things. Later the Gemara will discuss other things too. Or is that because, you know, the issue is far more acute in Bor than it is in others because Bor isn't, you know, a Maisa Hezek Bekumbase. So what? It, you know, nonetheless we treat it that way, or it's a Maisa Hezek Beshebal Tase, or it's Yitziras Hamazik, you know, and therefore what's Tzafui Merosh, you know, or what's connected to the Takala, and what the anticipation of what this is, a takala that, you know, that imperils, what it imperils per se, is a different, it's a whole different story. So that's something to think about in this sugya. Okay. Let's get back to Iganderi. There's more to say about this, but for now let's leave it at that. Iganderi. So we have the Rajba and the Tosa Rush, who basically, clearly, you know, have, again, you could say it's Xaris Akasu, certainly that's the way many Akronim understood it. I understand it as being, you know, very, very compelling proof for this whole mahalach of Yetziras HaTakala, namely that you know what caused that. There is Kedei Misaso as a passive Maisa Hezek, right? But if the boar didn't do it, and the assumption that you define the boar's capacity based on the outer limit, right, Lekula, meaning, you know, it has to have the capacity to be mamis anything, right? Afilu be'igandru,
Okay. So if you say this, so then the relationship between the trefa part of the sugya and the niske mamon part of the sugya, right, basically unravels in the last line of the Gemara. And that's basically what the Rajba says. Without saying it so explicitly, that part of it, that's basically what he's saying. Based on the way the Rajba and Tosafot Rosh read the Gemara, right, so, you know, 90% of the Shaklavatarya, or 95% of the Shaklavatarya, was assuming that what is trefa, in Hilchos trefa, right, in Yoredeya, is Chayav Mamon in Bor, in Choshen Mishpat. And then that last line, when the Gemara says Igandari, that's when the Gemara is like, you know, revealing either the secret about Bor or that, or the application of the secret of Bor, which is that that's totally not true. So then you could totally live with Rav Nachman and his trefa conclusion, right? Even as you're mistayeg when it comes to Niske Mamo. Okay? And that's, I think, what the Rajba did. So, but not everybody did that. So, let's talk about some of the other Rishonim for a minute. So the Rif we talked about already, there's a debate what the Rif really means. Again, our text in the Rif is not problematic. Obviously, the text in front of the Balamor and the Rush and the Meiri, who all have trouble with the Rif, you know, was that he omitted the part about, you know, falling from 10 up, the Kreso. They didn't have that. We have it in our text. So again, the Balamor, if you look at the Balamor al-Atar, he just says, what does he say? Tame on the Rif. It seems like the Rif paskins that there is Chavata b'pachos miyud. Right? We have it here? Oh, if somebody could get it open just in the fifth paragraph. Can you? Second. Okay. Way too far. Let's just discuss the Rif more quickly. I just want to talk about the Ravid also just very quickly. Anybody have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, the Balamor, the Rush, they all have this Girsa in the... the Rush adds to that that the Rif is Lashitaso, that he paskins like Rav. So just to add one Ha'ara to that very quickly. Again, that's the Rush. The Meiri says, no, they're all just making too much of a fuss. Right? The Rif didn't say it. In our text, he actually said it. But he just holds like the Maskana of the Gemara. He doesn't hold Yesh Chabata of the Pachas Miya. So this idea, the Rush, that the Rif is Lashitaso, could be understood in a narrow way. Probably invented in a narrow way. Namely that the Rif holds lehabala, like Rav. Therefore, he's going to read the Gemara that there is chabata pachos miyud for Rav Nachman, but since it's karka olam, you're not going to be chayev for nezakin. And so he can read the Gemara that way. So then he ends up, because of his view of havala, right, you know, reading a conclusion of the Gemara, the yesh chabata pachos miyud. That's the connection. So the connection is a technical connection in terms of just how to read the Gemaras, etc. However, just to throw this out very quickly, and that is it possible that, you know, that another way to look at the Rosh's conclusion for the Rif, if you buy into it, is that it has to do, again, with this special status of Bor. There's a huge debate whether Bor Lahavala, you know, should be taken completely literally, the asphyxiation or the, whatever other psychological, you know, anxiety is triggered, you know, by being in a Bor. Right, makes it feel even worse for Yosef, right, in terms of what he's, you know, what he went through in last week's Parsha. But
if we don't take that, you know, completely literally, but that also has to do with the status of bor as yitziras atakala and a chumra, you know, maybe we wouldn't think that havala alone would have the capacity to kill, but if the guy ends up, you know, dead because of the takala that you created, which in some sense, you know, has this capacity by a stretch, so, you know, the shame yitziras habar will have that effect. So then paskening like Rav, right, basically means that you have a certain perspective on bor, which might explain chabata karka olam, also, as we discussed, not lack of bilus, but karka olam, meaning there's no takala in the chabata part if it's karka olam, right? Unlike the Rashi and Chavkas, as we were explaining. And therefore consistent, again, to answer Shua's question, or namely, Rav doesn't actually think that owning the boar helps, because if you own the boar too much, so you have to have a fine line, because if you own the boar, then it's not yitziras ha-takala either. How can it be takala if you own it? Right? So then the idea that yesh chabata b'pachos mi yud, meaning if you do own, you know, or I'll put it this way, if there is a yud, a pachos mi yud, let's say, you know, which isn't chabata de karka, let's say, avana sakina maso, and it's under, so what, the Rif and Rav argue in Metzius whether yesh chabata b'pachos mi yud? But maybe the point is that in that sense it's l'shitasa, right? If the person ends up dead for a takala that is a full takala that you created, then you're chayiv. In other words, not the chamor, but the kal. Well, I should say the other way. I always try to get people chayiv, so I, my kulas and my chumras are only in the context of the Beis Medrash, hopefully. Right, hopefully not as a dayan. But, right. The point is that we are machmir, right, in what constitutes the mechayiv, even of the misa, even the misa sabehema, of a bor. In that sense, all the factors of Rav are l'shitasa. That's the view of the Rush in the Rif. Okay. The as for the Ravid, let me just make one quick comment. So I think there are two versions. I mentioned this the other day. I just wanted to follow through with it. The Ravid has a different reading of the Rif, as we discussed. Half of it is like the Meiri. Namely, no. The Rif means that you fell from a height of 10. But then there's the added chiddush of the Ravid, and that is the Ravid's view within the Rif that if you are, that an animal could be a trefa with less than yud, right? If it's, you know, a trefa because nishbar raglo lemala minar kuva, or gulgoles, or shedra, namely not risuk kalevarim, right, but some particularly sensitive, you know, aver that got destroyed. Right? Let's say a nezek type of, we'll call it, misa. Ah. And therefore, that's the other point that the Rif is making. But then the question is, what happens under those circumstances? In other words, yesh chibut, bepachos miyud, legabe trefa, just not the trefa of risa kalebarim. Right? That's an ingenious kind of an answer, because basically there's no machlokas in Metzias. But then the question is, if that really does happen, then legabe dine maminis, legabe choshemishpat, what will be the halacha? And simin tuf yudet, choshemishpat, what will be the halacha? So, in the Shittim Kubetzes, Alex, what did he say? In the Shittim Kubetzes, the Ravid actually is, there are two versions of the Ravid. One is the one, Chidush HaRavid, which is quoted in the Shittim Kubetzes, where again, in both cases, he says, ugh, the Rif, my hero, you know, people are tarnishing his reputation, I've got to jump in and, you know, explain what it is that he meant here. Right? There he sounds like he says that you pay just under Misa. Correct? You have the line? We read it last time, but...
Somebody get the one on the Rif, though, for... And where there is actually a trefa because of Shedrag, Gogoles, Nishbar, Ragla, Lamala, Mearkuva, go ahead.
Okay, fine. I'll back up.
That's towards the end of the piece, though.
Yeah, meaning when he talks about the Shedra, that's earlier.
Yeah. But I wanted to know the Choshe Mishpat consequence.
So he says, Gamlin Tashlumin Miera Trefos Kaze Machmas Nefila Yishalim Kula Chutz Midmea Trefa.
Chutz Midmea Trefa. Okay.
Right. The Mali.
Oh, that's the Gersa you have there? Yishalim Kula Chutz Midmea Trefa?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I could do share right at hand.
I thought it says me. From
the Shida Megavetzis?
Oh, you're reading from the Ravid al Arif. Yeah. So the Ravid on the Rif says you'll pay Chutz Midmea Trefa, you'll pay completely. Correct? In the Shida Megavetzis, I think he says you'll pay Chutz Midmea Misa or something. It's on the board. Micha, go ahead.
Oh.
These are two different pieces. The rest of the pieces are identical. The rest of the points in the piece are identical. Okay? So that is a small, but in my opinion, a critical difference. The Ravid al Arif is basically saying that the criterion for Trefa and for Tashlumin and Niske Mamon are identical. And everything is fine for the Rif. I mean, everything works out. Right? The Mishnah works out, the Gemara works out, Ein Chavata Pachas Miyud, Legabe Risa Kole Barim, right? But it's more specialized Misa, Trefa, yes, and when you have that, you have Niske Mamon as well. In other words, it doesn't have to be the boar, you know, that causes it. Or even Yud Tzvachim, per se. Correct? However, in the Shiva Kubetzes, I mean, the Ravid ala Chidushim, the Ravid often makes these subtle changes. I think we've seen it many times before. The Ravid was, you know, a creative thinker who came up with, you know, innovative ideas and who kept, you know, kind of reflecting upon them. So he changed his mind. So the Shita Mekubetzes one is far more Mechudash, and then basically it sounds to me, this is the leap I was taking the other day, that basically he's weighing in on the machlokas between the Rebionasin HaKoin Milunil and the Miri, you know, two of his countrymen, and they argue, like, what happens if there's nezek in the bor misa, like the animal broke its leg, right? But, you know, after falling, and then it dies, right? So the Miri basically says, it died, so we look at this from a bor katala point of view, and you're potter. So you're potter on everything. To me, that's very mechudash. That's a way of showing that bor katala, at minimum, is a different chalos than a bar nezek, but the assumption that even legabe the initial nezek, that is the case. I mean, it blocks it out. It's this istalek, you know, there's no bar nezek in a bar misa, legabe the totsah of misa, even legabe the nezek part of the totsah of misa. The totsah of misa eliminates completely the nezek part. Even in broken leg, even if the broken leg was noticeable, perhaps, a moment before the death. Right? And the Rima Lanil argues. Rima Lanil says that's not true. Because it broke its leg, so legabi that, it's nezek. To me, the more obvious shita is actually the Rima Lanil. The more mechudash one is the Meir. Then the Rima Lanil goes on to ask, or to extend it to the following other case, namely if the animal is, like, you know, fading away, but there's no broken leg, you know, so what about that? Because he was already fading away before he died. So, you know, will you... He says, I think even then you'd pay for the Dmei Nezek. In my opinion, it could have been Bechalik between those two cases. I think the Rebbe Lanil writes it in such a way that tips his hand that he also thinks you could have been Bechalik, but he's just not. Frankly, I think you could be Bechalik in another way. Does it matter whether you found the broken leg first and thought it was just a broken leg and then the animal dies? Or whether or not, like, you know, the animal dies and then you can figure out on the autopsy that, you know, first he broke his leg. Right? Does that matter? Meaning, there are two issues here. One is whether a bor misa is mafkia the status of bor nezek legabe nezek when there's a misa. Right? And then the second question is whether or not you might distinguish between cases where instead of looking at, you know, the nezek part of the misa in retrospect or something which is eclipsed by the misa, you know, where you can kind of identify separately the nezek. Anyways, in my opinion, that's a legitimate distinction, but what I'm saying more now is the Raibin Ashitun Gubetza sounds to me like he is saying that if it wasn't for the trefa part here, then he would hold like the Meiri. And because of the trefa part, he's holding like the Rimilunil. I mean, the words, obviously, Meiri, Rimilunil, I'm adding those in just to make it clear. Right? So that, the question is, really, whether we look at this as, whether we look at the Nezek as being connected to the Misa part. Look, this is an expression of Misa or not. This is the Misa part of Nezek by virtue of the connection to Trefa. But it's still not, in this case, Mamon, a pure Misa. That's very mechudak. That's very important. Anyway, that's for the Raibid and the Rith. Two versions of the Raibid, the Rimilunil and the Meiri connection, and the Rith itself. What about the Rambam? Are you? Kamenetsky? Well, we had you before. You were carrying the ball. I just wanted to give you like a chance to catch it, you know, to catch your breath. What? I know you want to jump in too. That's good. But are you? What is the Rambam's view? You didn't see it? Rambam in, what is Rambam's view about the Bor, the Gandhari problem? And what is the Rambam's view about the Trefa problem? Ezra? You see the Rambam? Joey? Rambam? Eitan? Rambam. How can you not see the Rambam? Liam? Rambam? Okay, good. What you got?
Rambam seems to say you need a Bor of Sardin to be Chayiv Misa.
Yeah, you have it? That's the Rambam Nuchas Niske Mamon. Ooh, running out of time. Yeah, Yud Beis Yud. We've seen it already, but now we appreciate it more because now we know not just the formulae. We talked about Yud Beis Yud and Yud Beis Tesvav and the question of Ones, right? And the different ways to understand that. That's very important for the Kedei Misaso. Okay? But getting back to Yud Beis Yud, now we're looking. Does the Rambam acknowledge a fall from a height of 10 where the bor isn't 10? The Gandhari issue. What does the Rambam say? Yeah. So very, very striking in the omission is that the Rambam left out the case of Yesh Arba, you know, Ad Kreso, that whole business. Correct? Very shocking in a way. Correct? Because the Rambam's writing a code. You know, how many times does the animal, you know, just lying there and fall into the pit? And how many times is the animal, you know, galloping through the whatever or walking? Fall in the pit. It's not like this is such an unusual case. Probably the Gandhari is way, you know, more of an outlying case, much rarer, more of an anomaly, right, than the other one, right? And even if it was an anomaly, you would expect it to be there in the comprehensive Rambam, especially when there's an issue at stake. So the Rambam's omission of that halacha is striking. Maybe he thought, maybe it comes from the Rif, and his gears are the Rif also, maybe. What does Ram say? Nuchas Shchita, though. That makes it a little more complicated. Yeah, but they're Perik Tes Halacha Chas. What's missing? The same case. Rav Nachman. So did the Rambam think like the opposite of the Rush? Maybe the whole sugya is only, you know, if you hold like Rav? And the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rambam, like the Rif. The Rambam paskins like Shmuel. Hard to know. Does the Rambam really think that there's no trefa, even if you fall from 10, because
you know, that doesn't do it. It's only if you get like the full dead weight, you know, of falling into 10 or falling a height of 10, both for trefa and for, if the Rambam held that way, that's what, all I'm saying is that the it would have been if the Rambam had paskin that in Hilchos trefa, right, we paskin like Rav Nachman, and he had admitted it in Hilchos, omitted it in Hilchos Iskei Mamon, then I would say, and that is what, by the way, what the Shulchan Aruch does. We'll get that in a second. Then I would just say, oh, they hold like the Rambam. But because the Rambam in Trefos omits it as well, right, it's hard to know. The Kesef Mishnah, Al-Atar, says that the Rambam is bothered by it. Didn't you have it there? In Hilchos Shechita?
The Mishnah's Nafal Nagag, we will come per Kapara, Gabe, how Tura of Nafal Akrusa.
He meant it. Right? Very hard to say that. But that's what he says. The Marshal in the Yom Shlomo here in Bava Kamma and Simcha Fei and the Bach in his parish on the tour in Yoredeya, they disagree. They think that the Rambam really holds that you know, like the first Deya that Rav Nachman's Shita is only Aliba, you know, derav, that there's Chavata Pachas Miyud. We don't paskin like Rav. We paskin like Shmuel. And since we paskin like Shmuel, you know, we don't accept that whole idea. But then you'd have to say that even Trepa requires a fall, like a dead fall, I guess. Right? Dead fall? Or Trepa? Or, you know, a fall from the heights, not including, you know, from the heights of his tippy toes, you know, not from the heights of what gets hit. That chiddush of the Gemara is just wrong. Then the Rambam wouldn't be saying anything one way or another. If the Kesef Mishnah is right, then either you have to assume the Rambam in both places is not saying that obvious case. Easier to say that about Trefas than it is about this Kimam. The Tur in Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, as I say, even though the Shulchan Aruch in the Kesef Mishnah, by Rabbi Yosef Karo, says that the Rambam didn't write it, but he meant it. And by the way, the Tur in Chosha Mishpat Simin Tafyud quotes the Rajba and the Rosh against the Ramah regarding the Niske Mamon part, namely what happens in that case, Lagabi Niske Mamon. The Beis Yosef, Al-Atar, says, I don't know where he got the Rosh from, but we know where he got the Rosh from, right, Natan? Well, the Tosa Rosh. The Beis Yosef was reading the Rosh, like I was. You know, we know that I told you to look at both. I thought I told you to look at both. But I mean, the Rosh who talks about the Rif. So the Beis Yosef said, I don't know where the Rosh is. I know the Rajba, but choose the Tosa Rosh, so the same thing as the Rajba. With less fanfare, but he definitely says the same thing. Either way, it's fascinating that by the time he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, that he included Rav Nachman in the Shulchan Aruch. No, I'm sorry, that's consistent with Kesef Mishnah, sorry. But he omitted it in Niske Mamon. Right, so the way that Niske Mamon reads is that we paskin that you need a bor shel eser, you need the potential of igandari, even though when it comes to trefas, right, the fall, you know, from kreso ten tfachim is enough. So if you look at the Nose Kalim in Yoredeya, everybody have that? That's Simen Nunches Aleph. Everybody have the Shulchan Aruch there? Is it on the board? Right? I would turn around, but it'll just take so much time. Yeah. No, you have it? Yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch says clearly, like of Nachman. Correct? And yet in Simen Tafyud, right, in Chosha Mishpat, it sounds like it doesn't work. Correct? So if you look at the Bach on the tour in Yoredeya, or the Taz in Yoredeya, so they just say, what do they say?
Taz just thinks one's more common than the other.
One is more?
Common.
Common? Well, no, but he also has the line that maybe we're machalic. Yeah, but I think he thinks that we're machalic between Treifus and Nizkei Mamon, but for technical reasons. Namely, something that the Rajba, by the way, considered, right, under Aleph Amud Aleph, but rejected. Namely, why maybe you should say, Safek Treifos Lechomra, because Safek Iso Lechomra, but when it comes to the Chiyuv Bor, right, maybe you should say, Safek Mamon, Otsim Mechavar Lavaraya, Lekula. So that's the Bach and the Taz. You have that line? In the Taz, I think Sivkot and Aleph. Or am I mixing up with somebody else? Definitely Bach says it. I thought the son-in-law also said it. Yeah, go ahead. What's Bach? Go ahead. Yeah. That's a suffix, and we split between some. Again, the Rajba didn't like it. This goes on the same list, though, you know, with the Rajba on base on the base about, is suffix this came out. And as I pointed out already, we've had like two or three or four, different Rajbas. You know, does Motzi Mechir Olav Araya apply, in cases of suffix halacha in this came out? And an interesting question. Okay, good. Pashtus, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch said. The best way to interpret the Shulchan Aruch is that they hold like the Rush and the Rajba, and they read the Gemara like the Rush and the Rajba, and therefore, when it comes to the question of is this animal, a trefa, the answer is yes, because it fell from 10 tzvachim, right? But ayuchayv mishim bor, the answer is no, because bor, is defined by a misa, which is ruya b'chol, b'chol ofanim, and that's igandari, exactly like the Rosh and the Rajba say. So that probably the best pshat in the Shulchan Aruch is the pshat of that. Okay, having said that, let's move on. I know our time is okay. We'll have to finish this on Sunday, but to the sugya on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, the next sugya, and that is the question of being mashlim, right? In the Gemara, right, the question is being mashlim from the Bor Tes to Bor Yud, Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan. And then the Gemara discusses the problem of Bor Yud to Bor Esrim. The Rishonim discuss, in addition, let's say you build a Bor Ches and somebody else is mashlim to Tes. Right, and let's say you build a bor yud and somebody is mashlim to yud aleph. Neither of those cases appear in the Gemara. Right, cases that appear in the Gemara are tes to yud, right, yud to chaf. Okay, so in theory, right, this really again could be a very fruitful topic or not, right? In general, when we, step back and think about this question, it's a kind of a shutfus, benizikin question, right? And there are slightly different scenarios or versions, of this, where default, we would probably have a different expectation, right? So, for example, in general, let's say there is... Let's say you add quantitatively, to a hezek, where there probably, was sufficient basis earlier, and you've made it more acute. But that's an interesting open question, right? And let's say you go qualitatively, from one to the other. The other two cases. Let's say you build from ches to tes, right? Or hey to vav. Right? That's one scenario, type of scenario. You're building from tes to yud, so that's a qualitative difference, seemingly. Right? You build from yud to chaf,
that's, you know, a different kind of qualitative difference. Okay, that's what we're dealing with. So in general, when it comes to multiple maziks, let's say you have something that is sufficient and then somebody adds quantity. You might have said that the Rishon is chayiv and the second doesn't do anything. Right? You might have said, oh, the second makes it more acute and therefore it's all on him. You know, he's the sole mechuyev, the first guy, you know, nistalek maisa. But if you ask me logically, I would say there's a strong case to be made for, let's say, you know, a person who, you know, was mazik sufficiently, and then somebody added, you know, a more acute level of level. There's a strong case to be made that only the first guy's chayiv, and then it's not so difficult to make the case that both of them should be chayiv. I think it's harder to make the case, you'll tell me if you agree, that only the second guy should be chayiv if the first one already would have been sufficient, and the only thing that the second is adding is quantity. Not impossible, right? But to say that only the second is chayiv, I think the case is stronger for only the first being chayiv than it is for only the second being chayiv. Put it that way. Okay. However, when you go qualitatively, you know, from one to the other, let's say test to yud, right? So again, I would end up, my inclination, my expectation, would be exactly the opposite. Meaning, it's not impossible to say you went from test to yud, even legabe, let's take for a moment, let's say legabe misa on a board. Even legabe is something that the tests would not be chayiv for. It's not illogical to me at all to think that the tests is still a shutuf, even though his, what he did was inadequate to this consequence. Because, right, the added, you know, contribution of the second guy is still built on the first guy. So the idea that the first guy is a shut, it would be impossible to say that only the first guy is chayiv. That would be ridiculous. I mean, if there was such a shita, we would embrace it. But it would say a lot. You'd say, oh, because he built the majority of the takala. It would prove a lot. But I don't believe, you know, that it's going to be a mainstream view, probably not any view. So the idea that the first guy wouldn't be completely chayiv, you know, is not. It's not something that we would expect. The idea that the first guy would be, you know, legamri potter, that's not mukrak. As I said before, it's still easy to see the first guy as a partner, because without his contribution, the second guy wouldn't have accomplished his goal. Right? So an equal partner, a secondary partner. Having said that, since the second guy is the one who passes the threshold, so you might say, Istalik Maisa Risha. You might say that. And only the second guy is chayiv. So to me, it's an open, in the first case, let's say ches to tes, the question is only the first guy chayiv, or is it that both of them are chayiv? And the question of tes to yud is the opposite question. Is only the second guy chayiv, or is it possible that both of them are chayiv? Oh. However, having said that, so let's, we're not going to do this now because we don't have time, but let's consider two points. I mean, there are two related points, two overlapping points. And that is, we have parallel cases of this, presumably, in other avos nezikin, right? And again, as we discussed, in two different scenarios, right? Internally and nezek cases. So let's say you had, you know, this kind of a scenario, right, in Adam HaMazik, or maybe even in Shor, of one Torah site type or the other. Or again, you have the equivalent of a ches to tes, where there's seemingly sufficient basis for something, but then it's made more acute, you know, added nofech of something, right? Or where you go over the threshold. Right? What will be then? Or what will be when you have a Karen that's sufficient and it combines with a boar? The boar is sufficient and it combines with an Aish. So the best thing would be, and it's very, 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 very difficult to do this, complicated, you know, is you get this massive chart, you know, of all the cases, and, you know, then you just study them, you know, and you pick out the discrepancies, or you find that everything is in a pattern, or you find that the discrepancies are for technical reason. That's what you want to do. Having said that, is it reasonable to think that there's a difference in this question between two factors? You know, that this question, in other words, is linked to two factors, the two factors that we care about, right? Coincidence. Number one, whether we're dealing with separate chaloses or the same chalos in different measures, right? Now, it's clearly a bor ches and a bor tes are not different chalos bor nezeks, right? There's a legal question, you know, of adding to it, and maybe there's a pragmatic, you know, element to it, and that is, well, you know, it is more acute, so how do you know this wasn't the difference in this particular case? But at the end of the day, bor nezek shel ches and bor nezek shel tes is the same chalos. But a bor tes, you know, and a bor yud, oh, that's half of our question here, right? There's mixed evidence for that question, both with respect to a misa that takes place and even possibly with respect to a nezek that takes place. Much more with a misa than with a nezek. That if the animal ends up dead and you went from tes to yud, that's one question. There we have agreement between Rebbe and the Chachamim, right, that only the second guy is chayiv. Right? If there's nezek, but you now made it into a killer pit, that's a debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim. We can totally understand that debate. But that seems to be different than the first case, assuming that you didn't just increase the capacity, like, you know, the potential of Misa, but that Bor Tes and Bor Yud are different chaloses. That's an assumption. We're not sure about that. There's mixed evidence on that. So we'll have to see in the Rishonim whether Ches to Tes and Tes to Yud really are different or not, because Ches to Tes is not discussed in the Gemara. Only Tes to Yud is. We don't know if there's a parallel, you know, Rebbe and the Chachamim debate regarding Nezek. We know there's a debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding Nezek from Tes to Yud. We don't know if there's a debate regarding Ches to Tes. In the end of the day, it's a Safek in the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, and it's a Machlokes. I'll just say now, to get it on the record, the Ra'ah, right, against most of the Rishonim. Like the Balei Tosas says, a Davar Pashut, that Ches to Tes is different than Tes to Yud. Correct? Okay. So that's one question. The more we're dealing with different Chaluyos, that can certainly, should have effect on the issue, especially if you're comparing it to other Nezikin, internal or intra Nezikin. The other question, of course, closely related to it, is if you're talking about reconstructing blame for the Maisa Hezek, for the Chisaron Shmira, you know, for the responsibility to pay for Maisa Shorcha or Maisa Mamoncha. So that's one kind of question. And if we're talking about the Mechayiv of Yetziras HaTakala, so it's very possible that this question of shared blame and the impact of, you know, adding quantity and especially adding quality is going to be treated very differently. Just like I said about half an hour ago or 45 minutes ago about Yesh Omid L'Nezakin. In theory, that's a question which could apply to all the Nezakin. And it's also very reasonable to think, you know, that the factors of different chaloses and especially different Amechayiv of Tziros HaTakala as opposed to Hezek type factors is going to play a role. So in light of that, when we consider, you know, the views of Rebbe and the Chachamim, and then the secondary debate, two secondary debates, one, the Ra'ah versus everybody and the Safek of the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam that I mentioned. I guess we'll have to finish the details of this on Sunday. What happens when you go from Ches to Tes? Is that the same as Tes to Yud? Right? By saying no, the Chiddush here is the no, not the yes. Because the yes can be explained in various different ways. In the yes, we want to look at the nisuchin, how they explain it. In the no, it's like the Ra'ah
you know, taking out an ad in the newspaper and saying, you know, there's no difference, at least with regard to this halacha, you know, between, even regarding Misa, presumably, you know, between, you know, an extended nezek, in peril, and an extension to Misa peril. If the Ra'ah felt that all boars are the same, and it's all just a question of, you know, the umdanon, but more on a technical level, what he says would be very reasonable. Similarly, is there a difference between tes to yud, I'm sorry, ches to tes, and yud to yud aleph? Because the Gemara thinks that yud to chaf, right, is shared responsibility. But yud to chaf, and it's not so obvious either, yud to chaf, you might say, oh, you know, A built a bor misa. He was yotzer tatala of a bor katala, right? And B also was yotzer. He did a misa of yitziras bor takala. What's not so obvious about that is that when inside a one bor takala, is there a chalos of creating another bor takala? But at least on the misa level, certainly we can hear it. Right, but is that the same as adding from yud to yud aleph? Why? On two levels. Number one, on a practical level, you might say the threshold is misa. You know, some more misa. There's nothing more nezek. Is something, but misa is the ultimate. It's the end. It might only just be the beginning, right? But even for animals? But no. But you understand what I'm saying. Okay. Right. So that's one element. But the other element is, if indeed we think that Bor Nezek and Bor Misa are different chaloses and different bechaivim, so then treating ches to tes and yud to yud aleph differently would really be very significant. Because a nezek, it's about reconstructing the nezek in one way or another, l'kul l'chumra. But maybe in bor, tzitziras ha'takala, once he does that, it's all on the first guy. So that, again, the Rabbeinu Yeshaya in Shidim Gubetzes says only yud t'chav, not yud to yud aleph. Now again, on a imperiling level per se, that's only a formalistic distinction. We could say there's a difference between yud and yud aleph, and maybe yud and, you know, yud tes, maybe. But to say that there's a difference between yud and chaf in terms of the reconstruction of the responsibility makes no sense. It's only a formal difference. Oh, he also was yotzer at takala. So who holds that way? Rabbeinu Yeshaya and Shimon Gubetzes. And actually Tosas, where? Either are you. Tosas? No, Tosas here says that Yud Yud Aleph and Yud and Chaf are the same.
Yeah.
That's the... Evan? Avi? Excellent. Tosan Yud Amid Beis seems to say also like Rabbi Yeshaya that Dafka Yud and Chaf. Otherwise, he compares the two.
You
throw another wood into the fire. You throw another wood into the fire, so you're both Chayiv equally. Rabbi Kveger points it out right on the spot. And Rabbi Kveger says, "Look at Tosan Yud Amid Beis." The whole sugya in Yud Amid Aleph, of course, is the sugya of Chavti b'miktsas nizko, where the Chavti b'kulo, and the Gemara starts with Bor and Rebbe and the Chachamim. And then from there they go to other cases. So that's also part of what I was discussing before. So let's try to pin that down just a little bit better. But the question of one chalos, two chalos, mechayev of yitziras atakala, or the reconstruction of your responsibility for the nezek or the maisa hezek or the lack of shmira, are definitely very acutely reflected in this particular sugya. And then hopefully we'll start talking about Adam HaMazik.